You loving Jesus tonight? Come on. He is so, so good. He is so good. And he's wild about you whether you're wild about him or not. That's good news. Because honestly, while we were alienated from him, he kept trying to just draw us. He tries to woo us. You know, what I love about Jesus, he doesn't come to condemn. He doesn't come to judge. He comes to save. Come on. And I'm ready. How many of you are ready to see an outbreak of God? I'm contagious tonight. Come on now. You know, I mean, contagious is a lot, something that's actually a lot more catchable than COVID is. Come on now. I'm contagious with Jesus. I'm contagious with the gospel. I'm the salt of the earth. Everywhere I go, you know, God begins to show up and show off. Well, if you've got your Bibles, let's go to Psalm 92. I'm expecting God to do tremendous things. As you know, I woke up this morning, and the first thing God said is, he said, I want my people to be fruitful. Come on. And I believe we're coming into a season of fruitfulness. You know, it's not enough just to be faithful, because a lot of people are faithful without any faith. In other words, they show up every week, but they don't do anything. The word doesn't really, they're not working it, but they're at least showing up. So they're faithful, but they're not that much fruitfulness. But Psalm 42, verse 10, it says, but you have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Psalm 92, verse 10. And he says, I have been anointed with fresh oil. And my eyes have looked exultingly upon my foes, and my ears hear of the evildoers who rise up against me. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree, and he'll grow like a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. God wants you to flourish. Come on. And they will still yield fruit in old age. Come on. They will still yield fruit in old age. There is no excuse, and they'll be full of sap. Come on, you're supposed to be sappy. Come on. You need to be a sappy believer. You know what I'm saying? Come on. That means you're still fresh. Come on. There's a freshness about you. There's actually a scent of the fragrance of God because you're full of sap. Come on. You know. You should be oozing the life of God. The first commandment was to be fruitful. Genesis 1:28, he said, be fruitful, multiply. Be fruitful, multiply. Come on. In John 15:8, he says, and this is the Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. In John 15, when it talks about abiding in the vine, he even says that he prunes us so we can bear more fruit. Come on. So sometimes we go through some stuff, some separation from stuff, because it's keeping us from growth. Come on. So we get pruned away. You know, I'll never forget years ago. I had preached every day of the year that year. 365 days. And I was coming off of that, and then I went right into a meeting with Tommy Barnett, a famous preacher in Phoenix. And I'll never forget looking at him, and I was totally burned out. And he was at a conference, and he had just flown in, and he hadn't slept all day. But he showed up to the conference, actually came to hear me preach. And at the very end, I asked him, I said, can you visit with me afterwards? I need some help. And I went, and I told him, I'm burned out. I said, you're about 15 years older than I am, and you've got a lot more energy than I do. And he said, show me, bring your schedule book. I brought it. He took one look at that thing. He said, you don't need to do this one. You don't need to do this one. You don't need to do that. You're better than that. What are you doing this for? What are you think you're doing this for? He said, it's not like when you first started. You don't need to be doing this. And he was so uplifting because he kept saying, you're better than that. And while he was totally rebuking me, I didn't even know it. Come on now. You know, I mean, see, some of these things were bearing some fruit, but they wasn't bearing much fruit. Come on. It wasn't like they were bearing no fruit. They were kind of fruitful. But, you know, when he left the room, I felt so good of myself. And then I looked in the mirror, and when I realized what he cut off, now I felt like an anointed stub. I mean, all my brains just seemed to be gone, you know. But new growth began to come. And many times that's what God does, man. He deals with something. It's one thing when he deals with something that's dead. It's another thing when he deals with something that's alive. Come on. And he does with both. Because he's always tweaking you to be the best you can be. And see, you'll find out something about God. He wants you to have fruit, much fruit, bear much fruit. And the way you become fruitful is tied to your prayer life. Because if you abide in him, his word abides in you. You can ask whatever you will. And it says, and this is the Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Then John 15:16, let me go there. We're going to have some fun tonight. I'm going to have fun in the word. I hope you like the word of God, because I don't know what else to preach. I've heard enough preachers around. I guess they found other things to preach. And but John 15:16. Yeah, that's it. That's why I said 16. 15:16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit. So literally, God chose you to bear fruit. Come on now. And that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask, so it goes right there, it goes to fruitfulness and prayer. Fruitfulness and prayer. Whatever you ask, he'll do. Whatever you'll ask, you do. Why? Because that's where our fruit comes from, our prayer life. Come on. The epitome of pride is prayerlessness, because we say we can do it without you, God. You need to invite God into everything. Come on, invite him into everything. Because once he's in the equation, then all of a sudden, the whole outcome changes. My son writes code. I mean, he's one of the best code writers in the world. And recently, he did something that he said he almost fried his brain, which he has got a big brain. And he wrote 7 million lines of code for one thing he was doing. And he said, Daddy, he said, and when you do 7 million lines, and he said, if you make one mistake, it throws everything off. It's freaky. Totally freaky. And that's what God tweaks us. You know what I'm saying? And he said, many times he just had to cry out to God, I need help, I need help, I need help, I need help. Because, you know, he said, I'm pretty smart, but God's a lot smarter than I am. See, a lot of people think they're a know-it-all. But God really is a know-it-all. Come on now. So you might as well go to the one who knows it all. Come on. If you don't know what to do, ask him. He'll show you. Come on. I mean, he's ever-present help. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, I use this phrase a lot. You know, most of you know I do. That in order to bear fruit, you need to know the deal is still on. Because every one of us, many times in our life, We have done stupid stuff. We do stupid well. Come on now. You know, I mean, some of you, don't look at me that way. I know better. You know, but we do. Some of us do stupid better than others, but we do it. And you know, Abraham, he was a father of faith, but he wasn't perfect. I mean, you know, he called his wife his sister. I mean, she had to be a beautiful lady, as the Bible says she was, because they desired her beauty. But, you know, the amazing thing to me is she didn't kill him. Come on. I mean, you know, Abraham was just trying to protect himself. And, you know, the Bible says after these things in Genesis, after he failed, after he took Lot with him when he wasn't supposed to, after he called his wife his sister, after he made these mistakes, God takes him up, shows up again, takes him outside of his circumstances, the camp, and shows him the stars in the sky, and he says the deal is still on. He actually shows him his fruitfulness. So shall your offspring be. So shall your fruitfulness be. Come on, so shall your fruitfulness be. And then, you know, by that time, Abraham and Sarah were kind of at the end of bearing children, if at all. And many times, you know, what God does is he'll take us in a situation, and it really, if you think about it, it's not rational to think you're going to be a father of a multitude when you weren't able to have kids at all. Come on. And some of us, it's not rational what God's showing us. It's another reality. Come on. And you have to decide if you're going to live in this reality or God's reality. Come on. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because God always is saying the deal is still on, but you just got to believe. If you believe, it will be counted to you as righteousness. You know, and you know, once Abraham showed that thing, I always tell people that have vision, they're prime time. You get your youth back, you get your rah back. See, I don't care how old you are, you when you have purpose, it sets you alive. And when God showed him that, and God told him, you're going to have a son, he saw it. When he went home, he started chasing that woman around the house. Come on now. His youth was renewed like the eagle. Come on. Faith without works, dead. Anyway, moving on up. You can tell I'm going home pretty soon. But anyway. But see, what happens is the entrance of the word brings light. And when the light comes, you begin able to see things. Come on. You hear what I'm saying? God lights up your candle is what it says in Psalm 18, verse 28. And then by that light, you can run through a troop and leap over a wall. You know, until the light is turned on, you can't do a thing. But one word from heaven ignites you. All of a sudden, you're changed. You're changed because you saw something. God showed you something, and that something changed, it repositioned you back into the Spirit. Come on. So it repositioned you for fruitfulness. See, don't go through the motions. You know, a lot of believers, they're like unbelieving believers, you know. They're going through all this religious gyrations. Come on. And they feel like, you know, we have to earn God's blessings. We got to be good enough. You know, you're not good enough. It's not based on what you've done. It's based on what he's done. Come on. You're not trying to earn anything. If you live off your earnings, you live poor. You live off your inheritance, you live rich. God's already done it for you. Come on. If you're trying to get God to do it, you're in unbelief. Because it's already finished. Come on. It's just the way it is. And Paul said, if you're going to run, win. You know, it bothers me when people want to be good losers. I said, if you're a loser, you're not good. I used to tell people, I said, man, I didn't want a good loser on my team. I never want a good loser on my team. I want to have someone, when we lost, we knew that wasn't supposed to happen. Come on now. That just wasn't supposed to happen. So you get back up, you expect to win. Because you always get what you expect in life. You attract what you expect. And Paul said, when I run, I run to win. When I fight, I don't just punch the air, I hit something. Come on. That's what the church many times going through these gyrations, it doesn't matter. It has not mattered. Because people on the outside are looking, what are they doing? What's that silliness they're doing? But when you're doing the real stuff, you're touching people. When you're doing the real stuff, you're caring about people. And guess what? When people begin to see that, they want to be part of a team. They want to be part of a winning team that's doing something. When there's a cause, they'll come because the anointing's because. They won't come to something just because they're preaching a message, but they'll come to a people because they're living the message. Come on now, where Christ is alive and well, and where they see people that have been set free, so when they're in bondage, they come so they can be freed up. Come on. Does this make sense? See, God wants you, he wants to increase you 1,000 times more. And he said, you've been around this mountain long enough. We've been playing this game long enough. Let's get in the real game. Come on, let's get in the real game. Let's get her done. Come on. Let's get her done. Let's do this gospel stuff. Let's see God show up. God's put an extraordinary spirit in you, not an ordinary one, an extraordinary one. You're not like every other human being on the face of the earth. If you're born again, you are a new breed. You've got God's DNA on the inside of you. You're not just a mere man. I remember years ago, I used to make that statement, I'm just human. And God said, don't ever say that again. Well, I'm just human. He said, don't say that again. And I said, I'm just. He said, don't say it. He said, you were just human. But the moment you received me, you are human, but you're not just human. Because I live on the inside of you. Come on. See, I believe that. I believe if the church ever got a hold of that, watch out. If we honestly believe the power of God lived on the inside of us like we should, watch out. See, I don't know about you, but let's trouble the troubler. Let's trouble the troubler. Come on. Jesus said, well, we might as well go ahead and tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy in Luke 10:19, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. He says to present your body as a living sacrifice. Sacrifice means to put to death for a purpose. You know what it is? It's reporting for duty, sir. Years ago, and you've heard the story, but I won't tell it again because I miss Grandma Rambo. Years ago, I was scheduled to preach in Missouri in a very small town. They didn't even have a hotel within 50 miles. So the pastor said, do you mind staying at this lady's house? And I told him, I said, I don't stay at ladies' homes. There's a reason I'm married. Come on. You know, I'm not going to do anything stupid, and I don't want, you know. And the pastor said, I was about 38 at the time. The pastor said, well, the lady's 85. I said, are you sure? I said, fax me a picture. I'm going to run it by my wife. That's wisdom, by the way. I'm going to run it by my wife. If she says it's okay, it's okay. Well, this lady looked like an Amish grandma. You know what I'm talking about? 5 foot by 5 foot with a bun. You know? And my wife looked at her and said, if that's what she looks like, you can stay there. Well, the pastor warned me, said, this lady is a prayer warrior. I said, well, my wife's a prayer warrior. No big deal. He said, okay. So when I walked in the house, this lady could cook. She cooked like an Amish grandma. Thank God. I mean, that was so, it was wonderful. And around 7 o'clock at night, she looks at me and she said, aren't you going to bed yet? I said, 7 at night. She said, yeah, it's late, isn't it? Now, you understand, my early morning prayer is before I go to bed. Yeah, I tend to, I'm a very late night person normally. Since I got married, my wife's tamed me a little bit. But I played professional baseball, so at the end of the ball games, most ball games were nighttime games, and then you go back to the hotel room and you unwind, and it's 2 or 3 in the morning before you ever go to bed. Come on. So I'm reading up to about 1:30. I know I have to preach the next day, so I was going to go to sleep. I get in bed. At 4:30 in the morning, I hear these words. Now, I'm upstairs. She's downstairs. And she gets up, the first words out of her mouth, and she yells them, "Devil, I'm your worst nightmare." She's 85 years old. She said, "God, I'm reporting for duty, sir." Next thing I know, she's ripping in tongues. I mean, shaking the whole house. And I'm holding on to the bed. That's all I'm doing. The bed's moving back and forth. I haven't had my coffee yet. And for 4 hours, this lady is, and I'm thinking, oh. So when it's finally safe, she's quiet. I come downstairs and she looks at me. She said, "Brother Woody, did you sleep okay?" I said, "There's not a demon within miles of this place." Well, I was there for a week. Every morning at 4:30, she reported for duty, sir, and she was the devil's worst nightmare. And she changed my life. Because as soon as the services were over, I would run back, get in my bed, because I knew at 4:30 we are reporting for duty whether I want to or not. And I remember leaving that place, and I caught something for her. She just ignited my prayer life, and I'm going driving home, just ready to do my normal little prayer thing I do, like my Shangri-Las or whatever it is, you know. And next thing I know, it comes out of my spirit, reporting for duty, sir, devil, I'm your worst nightmare. And all of it, I start raging in tongues, and I'm enjoying it. I caught something from Grandma Rambo. Some of you need to get around that type of fire. You just have to. It will rub off on you. Come on. And all of you need to report for duty, sir. See, we need to deal with the lion and the bear in private so we can face Goliath in public. Come on. Every one of you have a little private demons you face. I'm sorry you do. Well, because the Bible says there's sins and weights that easily beset you. There's every one of you prone different way. You know? I mean, there are a lot of things that that tempt you would never tempt me. But there's things that may tempt me that would never tempt you. Come on. I mean, I never have to be told to be aggressive. Never, 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 never have to be told to be aggressive. I don't have to tell to fight for what's right. I just have to be told to not fight for what's wrong. Because unfortunately, my greatest asset's also my greatest deficiency. It always is. Come on, God puts balancing acts. So usually, you know, when my wife's around, I just take a cue from her. She gives me the look, it means back off. No. It means you're about ready to step over the line, or you just did. But anyway, come on. But as a believer, you can turn your world upside down. That's what Acts 17:6 says. Those who turned the world upside down, they came here also. I want this church to turn this whole area upside down, right side up, whatever you have to do. But it needs a change. And we are the change. Come on now. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. We have got to let our light shine in such a way where we can get people out of the thing and not to condemn them because, you know, people used to tell me, you know, my pastor used to say all the time, don't worry about turning them off. They're already off. So I don't want to turn them off. No, they're already off. But don't judge them. That's not your job. That's not your job. Your job is to present Jesus to them. Come on. You know? Not to judge them, not to put a big trip on them, not to tell them you got to do this, and this. Not to try to clean the fish before you catch it so nobody wants to come to church because they don't want to be skinned alive. You know? It's the way it is. See, I believe, as a believer, you can turn your world upside down by defying the enemy. by defying the work of the enemy and leading the counterculture cause. That's what it is. We are counterculture. My son's church is in the middle of the most liberal place in America. It really is. Also the wealthiest place in America. Silicon Valley is both. But, you know, their church is a counterculture. They're saying, well, let us show you a better way. Let us show you a better way. Come on. And they're changing their culture. See, it's a clash of cultures. It is a clash of kingdoms. It's the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And our kingdom is one of love. It is. You know? And our kingdom wins. That's important. Make the devil repay sevenfold. Make him repay sevenfold. Some of you, you've had a lot of things ripped off, but God not only wants to return it, he wants to return it greater than ever before. Greater than ever before. Come on. Some of you, you've lived in Ziglag, a place of overwhelming despair. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, it talks about encouraging yourself in the middle of that. And then David encouraged himself, then he inquired of God. You know what God said? Pursue the enemy, he'll recover all. I believe we're in that season. We got to get on the aggressive. The kingdom of heaven suffer violence, the violent take it by force. Let's get on with it, because many of you got things that need to be recovered. Come on. You know, God showed me, you know, he told me, he said, we're going to be like a country song played backwards. Get our house back, get our car back, get our job back. Come on now. You get the dog back. Come on. Because we're about ready to get it all back. Come on now. You know? See, how many of you understand when you pursue God and decide to take new territory, the enemy doesn't just sit back there. So expect some opposition. Expect some, you know, don't think it's strange when you actually are making progress when the enemy starts hitting you. Don't think it's strange. Don't think it's strange. Well, why did this happen? Well, you're now you're progressing and the devil don't like it. You're going into his land. God calls it our promised land because we're supposed to take it back, but it's actually where he's been occupying. Come on. And he's not going without a fight. He's not going without a fight. And his tricks are always the same. It's always deception. It's always fear. That's why it says take courage. So you know, don't think it's strange that people are trying to get you locked in. Don't leave the house. Don't do this. Watch out, people have cooties. The cootie virus. Sorry about that. Not really. But see, the gates of hell won't prevail against the church. The gates of hell will. Won't we start? If we ever got rolling, we take the place over. The whole message of the kingdom is not you fit in, you take over. If we ever would start rolling, we would take it over. Gates of hell. The problem is when the church is not storming the gates of hell, it is literally not fulfilling its purpose. You know? And God he's putting a fresh fire on the inside of us. He's a very present help in time of trouble. But faith has a voice. We must never be silent. We must never be silent. We must never be silent. Silent no more. You know, you believe, therefore you speak. Don't be silent, because silence is when strongholds start. Almost every stronghold is literally become, you know, things become a stronghold because believers are silent. This makes sense. See, when the enemy attacks, we must turn up the volume of our faith. Turn up our volume of our faith. Nobody, no prison can hold a praiser. No prison can hold a praiser. And many times in my life, I've just learned I praise my way out of everything. Come on now. Because God inhabits the praises of his people. And whatever I magnify will control me. And if I magnify the Lord, he'll control me. I magnify my fears, it will control me. Come on. You know, I keep saying, we might as well speak where we want to end up. See, refuse condemnation, because condemnation brings slavery. Condemnation brings slavery. When you start condemning yourself, you actually put chains around yourself. And there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. There is conviction. He said, hey, but you know, the conviction is just so that we turn to him. It said, don't try to do this on your own. You can't. I already did it for you. Just come to me. Come to me. Come to me. I'll keep enforcing that thing. Well, what happens if you fall? Just get back up. That's all you do. You get back up, you keep going. You play until you win. You play until you win. And you keep your eyes on Jesus. You don't try to fight sin. He's the author and finisher of your faith. Come on. But we should begin to expect extraordinary miracles, extraordinary miracles. I love when it talks about the Apostle Paul did extraordinary miracles and even napkins or handkerchiefs that he touched were used. I was doing the meeting, and that's in Acts 19, 11, and 12. I was doing the teaching at Victory Bible Institute, a night class. And the Lord's quickened to me, and he said, I want someone to deliver someone tonight. He said, there's someone in here that their son has been an alcoholic for years. He's still living at home. And he instructed me, he said, ask the person in your class, and I had no idea who it was, to give you a piece of cloth. Why, they had a handkerchief. So I used that scripture with Apostle Paul, and I prayed over the handkerchief. I told them, I said, when you get home tonight, go into their bedroom, because usually they were out drinking really late. And I said, put this handkerchief under the pillow. So at 3 a.m., they were awoken by their son screaming, I need deliverance. I need deliverance. I need help. He's screaming. They run in, and they just prayed a simple prayer with him. He's been free ever since. See, you know, all those years of going from one, you know, of these, you know, different programs to another program, but in one instant of the anointing of God. One instant. It was instantaneous because the power of God is so great. It's an extraordinary thing. Come on. Are you petitioning God with prayers and requests that others might deem uncommon, unusual, and unanswerable? If you're not, you're not praying right. Come on. If you're just praying for things that are inside a box, then you're literally limiting what God can do. I remember years ago, I walked by my pastor's office, Billy Joe Daugherty, and his eyes got real big. And every time he heard from God, his eyes get real big. Get bug-eyed. And I walked by, and he said, come in my office. So I walked into his office. He said, God just spoke to me. He said, God's going to give us 50 miles of lakefront. And he said, we need to start a victory camp. And he said, God said, you know, he's going to give it to us. He said, I want you to agree with me that we receive it. And the first thing out of my mouth, probably I would kick me out. Because I said, well, how much money do we have towards it? His eyes looked at me. He said, God said he's going to give it to us. I said, okay, it means nothing, right? But, you know, I looked at him. I knew he heard from God. I said, Pastor, if you heard from God, let's agree. Let's just agree. So we, we, We held hands, we agreed, we prayed, called in that land and that property. 3 months later, there was a state park about 30 miles from Tulsa. And it literally had 50 miles of lakefront. And it was being vandalized. And the budget, there were a lot of budget cuts in our state. And they couldn't afford to keep it clean. So one of the people that, you know, had heard that we were talking about things, so they said, well, what are we going to do about this? They said, well, we can give it to the church. So they approached Billy Joe, and I was in the office again. And they approached our pastor, and they said, well, we can't sell it to him, but we can give him a 100-year lease at 50 cents. Actually, it wasn't even that. It was a penny a year. 100-year lease. A penny a year. So they walked into Billy Joe's office and said, you know, if you have people that will keep this property clean, everything, we want to lease it to you for 100 years. But it's going to cost you a dollar. I pulled out my wallet. Man, I paid for 50 miles of lakefront. And thousands of young people have been born again on that property. Thousands, thousands, thousands. And you know, it didn't cost us anything except for faith. Some of us, honestly, we're looking for all this stuff. We're trying to make it happen. God said, I'll make it happen if you believe. I'll make it happen if you believe. You can speak to the sun. Audacious prayers. Call the sun to stand still in the sky. Joshua did it. If there's a reason for it, come on. I mean, when God heard that prayer, he thought, now that is a God type of prayer. Come on. You know, many times we just do these little wimpy things. Well, God, if it be your will, if you can afford it, you know, come on. For a thing to be established, it has to be decreed, and for it to be decreed, it must be yielded to God. If you yield to God and decree a thing, it will become established. I believe when our voice is tied to God's voice, people are going to hear the voice of God on earth, and it's going to be through our voice. Come on. See, revival happens when we use what we have, not when we don't. You know, such as I have, give I thee. That's what, you know, on the way to the gate beautiful with a lame man, you know, he was expected to receive alms. Well, they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. I'm going to be honest, the church has what it needs to get the job done. But, it's, you know, because the world doesn't even know what they need. Layman wasn't thinking about not being lame anymore. He was just thinking about his next meal. But God has a whole lot bigger deal than that. And if we'll use what we have, we can see miracles. Because the miracle's already in the house. But if we're not using what's in the house, the miracle's not going to take place. Come on. Is this okay? I hope you like it. Because this is what I got. But see, God does things. He does wild things, man. Like parting the Red Sea. And God loves to make rivers in the wilderness. He's doing a new thing. He said, I'm going to make roadways where there have been no roadways. I'm going to make rivers where there have been no rivers. New roads, new rivers. Come on. The new thing God's doing, what is he saying? Is the rivers have to do with basically being a source. And that means literally resources and everything you know. The roads have to do with location and taking it to new horizons. God wants to make roads and he wants to make rivers so that we're no longer stuck in what we've been stuck in the wilderness of life. Come on. This makes sense. See, the freedom and provision accompany new things. God wants, he longs to be gracious to you. He longs to be gracious. That's why Isaiah 30, verse 18, God is always trying to get us to move forward. He's always trying to get us to move forward so he can do what he's never done before. Egyptian army behind you, Red Sea in front of you, and it's a setup. It looks like you're the one that's going to be the victim, but the ones who think you are the victim, they're going to be the victims. The very same people that dig the ditch end up in it. Come on. God's setting this whole thing up. You can't be stopped. Don't allow your sentiment to erode your significance. Don't allow your sentiment to erode your significance. Significance is all about the future and all that's ahead of you. Sentiment is about the former things. Come on. And too many people, they're looking back because they're allowed sentiment to trump their significance. So they've given up their significance because of their sentiment. Is this okay? See, roads take you to new horizons, new possibilities, new opportunities. Rivers are a source of supply, provision. And you know, you're part of the new thing God's doing because he's doing it through you. Out of your belly will flow rivers, out of your belly. You are the Ezekiel 47 river. Everywhere that river goes, when the river starts flowing out of the church, people will begin to come into the church. There will be a constant flow of out of the church. The river of God flows. Everywhere we go, we release him. And next thing you know, people are just drawn to the house of God. That's what I want to see. And honestly, everywhere the rivers flow, there's resurrection power in the river. So dead things come alive. Dead people come alive. People that literally have been dead without God, dead, alienated from God, they come alive because we're flowing with the life of God. Come on. Signs follow us because we're following God. So like a river, the gospel was never meant to be contained. It was meant to be shared. And you know something? When you are in that flow, you have the wow factor. I love my son's church. I absolutely love it because most of their church are young believers. They've been averaging 30 first-time decisions for Christ now for 82 straight weeks in their home, just that one location. So almost everybody in there has been saved less than a year. And I love it because, I mean, it's not a passive place. I mean, the pastor says, he said, we're an interactive church. So he preaches, they preach back at him. You know, I mean, and many times he's excellent at what he does, but he'll say something. My first reaction is, that was good. You know what their reaction is? Wow. I hear that word all the time, wow. I mean, it just goes, wow. Wow. I think it's time the church gets back to wow factor. Come on, wow. Come on, wow. Come on, you know, I mean, have we lost that awesomeness of God? Like, wow, come on. What flows out of the house of God, the church, should also touch dead things and bring them to life. Rivers, living waters, the very nature of them is constant motion, constant motion, constant motion, constant motion. I'm going to be honest, a church that's not on the move is probably not operating in Christ. Because in him we live, we move. We have our being. It's constant motion. It's constant. Sometimes it's just ow. Come on now. You know. But see, God wants to do that. Expect new roads. Expect new possibilities. Expect and be the type of person that can yield to whatever God shows you. Don't be an old wineskin. Don't you be people stopping the next move of God. I know. I found out some. Usually the people doing the criticisms are the people in the fans that can't get anything done anyway. I remember when I played ball, you know, we had coaches. And they would yell at me, run, run, run. I look at them, I say, you run. These fat old people say, you run, run, run. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, at least they played before, so I didn't feel as bad. But, you know, other people, I see people all the time criticizing people on the field. Well, if I was them, I wouldn't have thrown that pass. I said, of course you wouldn't, because there's no way you could throw that pass. Come on. You know? Well, I would have done it different. I would have done it different. No, you wouldn't. You know, and if, honestly, it happens in the church all the time. The people that are critiquing, they ain't doing anything. See, when you're on the field, you don't have time to critique. You don't have time, you know. I mean, you just don't. And see, what I love about Jesus is he was so unpredictable. And it drove the Pharisees crazy. He just drove. I mean, he healed on the Sabbath. You know, he talked to a Samaritan woman. He touched a leper. Well, I mean, what was this with this Jesus? He didn't play by any of the rules. Come on, Jesus. Who do you think you are? And he'd go around talking about who he was. Come on. You know? I love when churches stand out because they're not religious. Because honestly, then people look at them and say, that's not the way we do it. That's not the way we do it. Have you ever noticed the way they do it is dead? Come on now. And you know, I found out the dead who want to be dead are the ones that will always persecute those that are alive. Come on. I'd have people all the time when I used to witness, and they say, that's not the way you witness. Well, I said, how do you witness? When is the last time you did witness? Don't criticize me. Because be honest with you, all I know how to do is love people and reach out to them. I don't know how to do this thing. I don't know how to do the religious game. I still don't know how to do the religious game because I'm not doing a religious game. You know, you want to know how, you know, people never accuse me of talking behind their back because I always talk to their face. That's part of my problem. Come on. Does this make sense? See, this is going to be interesting to say. But see, I'm not winding down. How many of you know vision is always expanding for the climbers? They're always expanding for the climbers. God's always telling you higher level because you can see more. You can see more in a higher level. He said, come on, the path of the righteous is ever upward, never downward. Come on, I want to show you more. Call unto me, I'm going to show you some stuff. Come on up here, come on up here. That's what he's always saying, come on up here. See it from my vantage point. The things I want to show you. The things I want to show you. See, as a leader, you have to be a room giver and a roof lifter. You have to make room for other people's gifts, and you have to lift the ceiling. You have to lift the ceiling. Come on now. And be honest with you, you even think about Jesus. You know what Jesus said? He said, my ceiling should be your floor. When he said John 14:12, the works I do, you shall do also, and greater, and greater, and greater. He said, I don't want you just to do what I did. Come on. Come on. I mean, see, what I've learned, if you want to make history and not be history, you're going to have to be constantly looking to the future. That's why it says if anyone looks back, they're not fit for the kingdom of God. You have to sow seeds of opportunities for others, and you're going to have to live a life that raises the ceiling on every limitation that holds you back. We have access to the King. You know what we have access to? More grace. Grace is God's ability. It's God's power. It's whatever you need. It's grace. Whatever you need is already available. It's grace. It's all grace. It's to come boldly to the throne of grace to receive. Your need, for it will help you in your time of need. So then whatever need you have, the answer is grace. Come on. Then you come to receive more grace, and the only way you can give more grace is if you're humble enough to receive it. Humility is the ability to receive what you don't deserve. You don't earn it. You receive it. You don't deserve it. Blessed people understand they live beyond what they deserve. Come on. Does this make sense? Don't just hope for more, ask for more. You have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. Ask for it. Ask for it. It doesn't hurt to ask. Doesn't hurt to ask. In fact, it hurts if you don't ask. Till now you have nothing because you've asked for nothing in my name. Asking you shall receive, and your joy will be made full. So this makes sense. If you're going to be fruitful, you're going to have to ask. You're going to have to ask. See, I want my passion to reflect that I'm a carrier of the best news that heaven has ever, you know, that earth, humanity has ever received. I am the mouthpiece of the message of what God is doing right now, right here. Come on now. I honestly believe everywhere I go, I'm supposed to be the answer. I really believe that. I believe when I walk into a place, I change the atmosphere. It brightens up. I have relatives. They would tell me. They tell me, you know, they're terribly oppressed. I even have had relatives who, when I would go to their house, they wouldn't have to take their meds. You know, and they say, it's the weirdest thing. We never, you'd go here, and my dad would say, when you walk into the house, my blood sugar would be normal, and he'd take it every day. My blood sugar never spiked. He said, you know, we ate some things that weren't even that healthy. And he said, it would always stay normal. When I left the house, it'd go back up. He said, why is that? I said, because while I'm there, I was able to control what was going on. Because I understand the authority I walk in. I remember when I worked with Farmers Insurance Group, when I went on my first vacation, when I came back, my secretary came up to me and said, when you left, it seemed like peace left. I said, it did. I said, but I'm back, so don't worry about it. Everything's going to be peaceful as long as I'm here. You better pay me well. Come on. I just believe that. Does this make sense to you? God wants to exceedingly abundantly beyond. Exceedingly abundantly beyond. How many of you are ready for the exceedingly abundantly beyond? See, I'm going to be honest. On the other side of triumph or victory, there's still more. On the other side of failure, there's still more. On the other side of sickness, there's still more. Come on. On the other side of your mountain, there's more. On the other side of this earth, there's more. Come on. See, we're going over to the other side. We're going over to the other side. We're about ready to see this thing blown wide open. Come on. I don't know about, I'm ready. I am more than ready to set this whole place on fire. Come on now. To see the glory of God burn and to see, I'm ready to have my most fruitful season. When a lot of people my age are declining, I'm moving forward. You know, I feel like Joshua now finally can get into the land. Finally. I mean, I had a deal, you know. Sometimes you're held back, but just by the fact you have no one to go in with you. But now God's raising up a whole new army, a whole new generation. I'm prophesying the wind and everything's coming together. Come on now. And there's a mighty army. I'm prophesying to the area. And literally those that have been dry bones, they are now beginning to come alive and getting joined together. And then the wind enters them. And they're a mighty army for God. God's going to give you back your life so you can live to the fullest. And the part of living to the fullest is so that you can be like a drink offering poured out. But your life makes a difference. I'm ready to see this area changed. I'm ready to see. I'm more than ready to see it. I believe God's going to download creative ideas. I believe he's going to put fresh fire. I believe we need to call all the resources and the people we need. Just call them in. Call them in. Every age group, every background, you need them. You need them. You need them. I mean, if the church is not diverse enough, we're not going to have the harvest we're supposed to have. Come on now. I mean, out of our belly shall flow rivers, so there's got to be a lot of different flows. Because, you know, honestly, I believe God's trying to release us in a fresh way, and it's that we might release our faith. And as we release what we have, people are drawn in. And those people are drawn in. They may come in as a project, but it won't be long, you know. You can come into a place sick. The gospel is the only place where you can come in in need of a hospital or a healing. And the moment you receive it, you become a doctor. Because the Bible says whatever you receive, you can freely give. You receive mercy, you can show mercy. You receive a healing, you can minister healing. Whatever you receive, you become an authorized dealer of. See, it's so important we get our receptors out. And we begin to realize, man, what we received is not just for us. We were the beginning point of it. You know, when I got saved, I started thinking about this the other day. I think about it now pretty often. I have probably led thousands of people to the Lord since I've started ministry. And that's probably tens of thousands, probably. But the people I've led to the Lord have led millions. I know that as a fact. I mean, just the one young man led 3 million, over 3 million people. So the people I've led to the Lord have influenced. And I started thinking about all the influence as it goes on and on and on and on and on. I look at my family. My entire family saved. It started with me. I mean, they're serving God. It started with me. And I wasn't special. I was a mess. Then it was turned into a message. God came on the inside of me. When people saw the change, they wanted it. They thought I was going through a phase. That was 40-something years ago, 48 years ago. Longest phase I've ever been in. In fact, it's going to be an eternal phase, actually. So, you know, it's definitely. But how many of you today say, God, I want that fresh fire. I want to be more fruitful than ever before. God, yeah. And God knows, he knows all your hang-ups, so don't you get hung up on them. He already knows your sticking points. He can get you unstuck. He already knows all your excuses, so you might as well not make them to him. Because he's going to use you in spite of you. Sometimes not because of you. Because I ask God sometimes, I say, God, why do you use me? He said, because you're willing. That's why. He said, I'd use a whole lot more people, but they're not willing. But I said, Lord, you know? He said, oh, yeah, I know. He said, I use the foolish things to confound the wise. Come on. I use the simple things. I use people just, you know, like childlike in their faith. To honestly believe that their life can make a difference because of the difference Christ made in us. How many of you today, you say, I'm reporting for duty, sir. God, I am reporting. I want, devil, I want to be your worst nightmare. I want to be part of what God's doing in this area. I'm not here just by chance. I'm here by calling. Come on. God, and God called me. He's appointed me to bear much fruit, and that fruit would remain. He's actually called me as a seed that's supposed to be planted. See, God doesn't want you back in seed form. He wants you back in harvest form. Come on. But how many of you say, I want to be part of that miracle army God's raised up. I want to be part of that new breed. I want my youth renewed like the eagles. I want to decide that I'm not too old to do anything or too young to do anything. I'm just the right age. Well, if you're on report for, I want you to stand up where you are, because there's an anointing on the house right now. And God's going to give you back your life, back your life. There's a fresh fire. There's a fresh anointing. You might as well just get so excited it's ridiculous, because God is literally breathing life in you and through you. Come on now. There's a fresh breath of God that you can run the way of your commandments. The deal is still on. God's going to bring you back to that place where he took you to the mountaintop and said, okay, when did you decide it was over? Let's go back to that place. I want to resurrect your vision. I want to bring you back to your purpose. I want to begin to let you know, hey, Abraham, you're not too old. I chose you because I knew it would be a miracle now. Many of you right now, what God's going to do in your life is going to be a miracle, a miracle, a miracle. He's going to make you a living miracle, a living epistle. When people look at you, there's the person God's blessed. There's the person. I knew them when they had nothing. I remember them when they were doing a little thing in the corner, and now look at them. Hey, I remember. And it had to be God. I knew them. It had to be God. So, Father, I'm releasing a fresh anointing. And I'm releasing a fresh fire. And I'm releasing God. I'm releasing. Lord, you said, let my people go. We're releasing them. We're releasing their gifts. We're releasing their talents. We're releasing their ability. God wants to just, he wants to give you permission to be your anointed self. Not anybody else. But the true you, the DNA God on the inside of you has put, the anointing, Spirit of the Lord's upon me. He's anointed me to set captives free, recover his sight to the blind, take good news to the poor. He's anointed me to open prison doors. And when I lay hands on the sick, they recover. I'm a world changer. I'm an extension of the kingdom of God on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in my life, in this life, in this area, God. Set this people on fire with the blaze of God's glory. Set them on fire. Help them to flow with you. Not to strain, but to flow. Just to flow. Let Lord, with those areas that you've already stirred up compassion, continue to stir it. And I declare the wall will fall. Every single wall that's been holding it back is coming down in the name of Jesus. You might as well get excited. We're about ready to see God promote his body and show off his bride. Show off his bride. And he's going to see the bride. All of a sudden, the worry wrinkles will be gone. There won't be any wrinkles. There won't be any spots. There won't be. All there will be is the glory, the glory, the glory, the glory. That's all there will be. And people are going to look and they're going to be drawn to that light, drawn to the light. God's going to show off his bride before we ever leave this earth. We are going to be the glorious church. He's going to turn it for a season. Because when the righteous rule, it gives everyone opportunity. And we're going to be proclaiming mercy, not judgment. Because the number one call, one of the reasons we're here is to hold back judgment. So we're going to show God's mercy. Everything's going to begin to change. Some of you right now, there's a fresh fire. I'm speaking healing, health to every single part of you, your body, your soul, and your spirit. I declare that union with Christ, that anointing is moving in you. And anything that's holding back the life of God is being the life of God's being released right now into your cells, into every your fiber, into literally, you know, discerning and separating between body, soul, and spirit. Judging the thoughts and intents of the heart. Bring us into line, a holy alignment with heaven on earth. Holy alignment with God. So God, through us, is free to see His will and His kingdom, His will being done here as it is in heaven. His will being done here as it is in heaven. God, I want to be that connection. I want to be that connection that so that your will can be done here as it is in heaven. God, I don't want anything to block. Fresh faith. New rivers, new roads, new thing. Get ready. Because it's not going to look like anything we've ever seen before. It's not going to look like anything we've ever seen. So you can't even look back at the former glory, because it's not going to look like the former glory. It's going to have some elements of it, but it's not going to look like it. It's a new thing. A new thing. And all the saints of old long to see the day. And we're going to get a chance to be right in the middle of it. Even the ones that walked with Jesus on earth kind of probably begged Him that they could come back for this hour. They said, as good as that was, that wasn't the climax. That was the beginning. We want to be part of the grand finale. And God said, you can, but you only as a witness. You can cheer on from heaven. But this is the group I chose. This is the group I chose. Come on. This is the group I chose. That they would finish in terms on earth. That they would establish what was supposed to be established and give people an opportunity for the greatest harvest the world has ever known. People swept in. Greatest healing power. Greatest healing revival. Even a transference of wealth for a season. For a purpose. Understand, it's always for a purpose. That's why God is trying to get all the selfishness out of us so that when the transference of wealth comes, it will be used for His purpose and His glory. So as a covenant would be established. How many of you got something tonight? Can you feel it in here stick? How many of you know we're going to change this place? We're going to change it. We're going to change it. We're going to change it. Keep speaking life. Keep speaking life. Keep speaking life. Keep speaking life. Some of you've been stuck, and right now God's getting you unstuck. Again, you're finally on the move again. You're finally on the move again. You're looking back in the mirror and saying, I'm back. I am back. I'm back and I'm better than ever before. These next chapters are going to be so much better than the last ones. Come on. Hallelujah. Well, that's why I'm getting out of the way, because I could do this all night and that's a threat.